You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batour Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
So, Stugatz, once again, as we're headed into free agency, or we're in the middle of free agency, it's a popular time for us. Stugatz gets in the way of negotiations at every turn. And now he is doing stuff that is allowing us to audition others for his role at our most popular time, our most valuable time. Stugatz is doing the dumb shit that requires us to interview new applicants for his job. Now, I don't think that this guy is available to us anymore. I think he has skyrocketed into the stratosphere and is no longer someone we could have. I think there are times in the last few months or maybe few years that we could have had him. But Adam Lefko is the host of the NBA on TNT Tuesdays. They start back up February 2nd. He's skyrocketing, right? Because that show, the best studio show in America for many years now, has gotten older. And so what they've done is they've poured some lifeblood into the youth and the sensibilities with Lefko, with Dwayne Wade. It's a different show than Ernie and Charles and Kenny Smith and Shaq are doing. It's got sort of the vibrancy of youth, and Adam would never say anything bad about that show. That show's the standard. The Barkley, Shaq, Kenny Smith, we all know it's the standard. But Lefko is now rising in this business, but he also, in some ways, learned at our knee in terms of being given permission to do some of the wacky stuff that they do. So we bring in Adam Lefko now. Are you too big time now to, you're not even auditioning. Would you like to replace Stugatz? You can't do both jobs.
Are you just offering him the job without an audition?
But would he need an audition, Mike? Like at
no,
this point,
I'd give it to him.
At this point, let's do it this
Haven't
other
way. Haven't I already taken it? Mm. Did I not come on your program and announce myself as the Stugatz now? Didn't that already happen?
Years ago.
So if anything, this is an affront to my sensibilities, Dan. To be honest, I thought I had it.
Okay, well, I don't think you should have to audition either, frankly.
Also, who is this bearded person that I'm staring at, a supposedly Stugatz? Is this Stugatz in Castaway, which Tom Hanks was in, and then he was in that other movie, I'm the Stugatz Now, full circle. Thanks a lot, Stugatz.
Okay, so he wants the job. Well, at what point?
And I want his job, so how about a little job swap?
I learned from sitting next to Shaquille O'Neal that you cannot have too many jobs. That's what we're going for.
I don't think you can do both of these, though. What is your schedule like now, or not now, but soon? How crazy is it going to be? You're going to have to move to Atlanta and get immersed in pandemic quarantine basketball?
I am going in about a week and a half. I'm bringing my fiance with me. This is my schedule. I am going down there. I still have to do all my other Bleacher Report stuff in addition to the Tuesday show. And then I cannot come back to New York for the extent of the 13 shows that we're doing, the 4 or 5 months. And then when I return, I get married 9 days later. Right. So it is, you know all about that. So my 2021 is about to be wild.
Well, be careful. That first year of marriage is the most difficult year of marriage.
It is.
Okay? It is not. Yeah. It's not.
Stugatz's advice on this.
Well, you'll find out very quickly whether this thing is going to sink or swim. Okay. Wow. We'll see.
Okay.
What's an attribute of a sink marriage?
is working way too hard in that first year of marriage and not paying nearly enough attention to your wife, which is what you would be doing if you took my job and continued in your current job.
Well, actually, Lefko, you should know, okay, the reason that we escalated to this point, right, is with the freedoms we have been given, and you will be mortified by this, because I believe you can be a better Stugatz than Stugatz because you won't make these kinds of mistakes. The reason that you are in this position to replace Stugatz right now is because we're coming off a segment in which we just got done discussing how often he leaves stained underwear for his wife in the laundry, and beyond that, he then said during the conversation with his wife, he told her, essentially, make me better sandwiches. So he sent her to the kitchen, like laundry and kitchen. 2021, fresh off the Me Too movement, he's on air sending his wife to the kitchen to make him sandwiches after staining underwear in a conversation about laundry. I don't mean to insult you, but that's the reason this job is presently available to you, is because he did that in the last segment, Lefko, and I don't think that's something you would ever do, either in the laundry or on air.
That has to be a generational thing, where, like, I have never expected my fiance to touch my laundry. I, like, let alone leave. You have stains in your underwear is my first question.
Yeah.
And so do you use wet wipes? Yeah, like, here, there's a lot of ways that we don't get to that result.
Here's why you can never be me. Because you have them, but you do. We all do. Okay, we've all had those days, right?
He's right. Admit it, Lefko.
You're and a bad ally.
No. Chris turned on me real quick.
No, but he's a bad ally for Stugatz to have on this, because Roy is, like, everyone else here rides with, hey, clean underwear. That's pretty easy. It's only Cody's kid that is riding with Stugatz.
Right. Well, it's only me and Chris that are telling the truth. That's what's happening here. And really, part of this job is just laying
your... Well, no, if it ever happened to me, I think I might throw him out. Because, you know, underwear is like $5, and you don't have to hold on to these pieces of cloth for years.
Right.
These are not seminal moments you're going to pass down to your kids, Stugatz.
We got you. We got you. If
you can get a three pack for $6.
Right. If it ever happened. I know. But listen, okay, it does happen, and I just throw them in the laundry. I leave that to my wife to decide whether she wants to throw them away or not, depending on how bad.
So does she walk out like you have killed an animal and is like, what is this?
No. Well, she just got done.
They just go away, Lefko.
She got done telling us that she just throws it. She doesn't actually look at the hard truths. She just throws it somewhere else and someone else handles it, because Stugatz is paid very well. And so it's not his wife who's actually doing the laundry. It's somebody else. But that she's not actually inspecting the damage. She just knows that it's there.
Right.
However, a sandwich does sound delicious. So if she's making extras, I will take one. That sounds great.
So you shouldn't have to audition for this job. But in all seriousness, how many months ago, if we had called you and said, hey, Lefko, do you want to replace?
I'm still interested. I'm very interested in that.
And I'm still interested in yours. I mean, I don't think I haven't tried to get it.
This is behind the scenes thing. I will never forget getting to go down there with Sims to finish off the incredible Sims 69-70 quarterback Sims list and seeing the universe that you guys had there. And I think that part of the reason why I love NBA on TNT is when you go backstage, that's when you realize why the show works. Because there's an energy and there's a love for each other that's not just the people on camera. It's from like Ernie down to like the makeup person to the janitor. Everybody's cool. And you guys have that. And so if I can be in two universes at one time, in essence, the Thanos of sports media, I am just accumulating rings. And then eventually one day, you won't even hear about
Mike.
Stugatz,
he'd be a good Stugatz. We can't right. dispute that, right? In terms of, because he's also very smart. So he could do the act as an improv guy and also give us the high end smart stuff, so that every time I started talking about, you know, rifle toting militia on the Kentucky Capitol lawn, I can actually talk to somebody about it, as opposed to where we end up, which is Stugatz going back to shit stains in his laundry.
Dan, this is a dream candidate, because he's got all the Northeast fandom. Like, he can fan out with you. He can do the Stugatz things, but he's evolved. He also has brilliant social commentary. He's hip. He's young. He has cool, influential friends. Adam Lefko is an upgrade.
And
what?
We won't have to talk about the Jets.
What? Mike, you're insulting both Stugatz.
We don't have to talk about the Jets, but we have to swap the Jets for Eagles.
But you'll never be able to talk about shit stains. I mean,
Mike, that is wrong what you just did. The audience is going to feel like you're cheating on, you're disrespecting. An upgrade is saying something. You could say with no insult to Lefko that he might be able to do the job as well as Stugatz, but to say it's an upgrade.
Oh, no, he'd do it better.
No, Dan, I've been married to Stugatz for 18 years, and you know what they say. The 18th year is the hardest year of marriage.
He'd do it honestly.
Married? Is Mike the one doing the laundry? Are you cleaning?
I'm cleaning up my host shit for 18 years.
Wait, Chris, Dan has him doing it more honestly when Lefko can't even admit to a shit stain.
I mean, seriously, what are you talking about?
You just made Lefko spit out some of his drink.
That's because I'm good at what I do, Lefko. You know what I'm saying? Listen, I've never spit out anything when you're talking on the air.
Right? I do not.
Yeah, we know it comes out the other end. That's the issue.
Well, that was good, too. Yeah,
you're good.
He is good. Lefko, how has Dwayne Wade been? Like, I can't imagine how quickly you've fallen in love with that guy because he is such a sweet person. It's kind of strange to see his level of stardom and his specific touch with people. Like, there, you will not find anybody, well, his ex-wife, but you won't find many people who have anything bad to say about that dude.
The first time that I ever met him, it was at like a dinner, and he was asking me a lot of questions, and I was sitting there going, why are you talking to me so inquisitive? Like, why do you care what I have to say? The other thing I'll say is I learn a lot about people by doing television and doing productions with them and seeing their energy. And the downside of NBA on TNT is when you see Charles and Shaq and Kenny out there and you realize that Ernie is the only one that goes to production meetings to keep everybody else very fresh, that becomes intoxicating for other athletes because they go, if they're not going, I don't have to go. Dwayne Wade has gone to every production meeting. We text all the time. He's always sending me ideas. And so there's like the professional respect that I have for him where he really wants to be good at this. But then there's also the part where I think he's like a 15-year-old kid because he's like, this isn't how kids talk. And he's intelligent. He's kind. And it does make me a little self-conscious. Sometimes when you're around people like that, you actually question your own worth, which is why I'm happy to be on the same screen as Stugatz today to bring myself back up. But Wade's a top-notch
human. He does. He makes you want to be a better person. It's all of it, right? Yes. It's the way that he's a father to his children. It's all of it. In the absence of a father for himself. And it's the least surprising thing that you could say, that he wants to be good at that. And of course, where you find greatness, you will find that kind of will and that kind of intellectual curiosity. He's absolutely mining you for information because you've studied more in this game, but he wants to be better than Charles and Shaq and everyone else at that stuff. And he's going to be able to do high-low with you because it's not just that he won't take himself so seriously. It's that he will do the basketball analysis that'll make it feel smarter, but he'll also do all the goofiness with you because he's going to trust you to lead him into the right places where he can do the goofiness.
He also brings out a different side of Shaq. He brings out an older brother out of Shaq, and he brings out someone that Shaq respects. Shaq will have fun if he respects you. Like that first show, I remember that Shaq 100% was testing me. And I remember sitting there going, I cannot be old, crusty, I got to get to the next segment guy with Shaq. Because if I do that with Shaq, he's never going to have fun. But then I saw the way that he interacted with Wade, and it created a whole new dynamic there that Shaq was telling me stories in the back about when Wade was a rookie and how innocent he was and how him and Gary Payton wanted to go and spend time corrupting him a little bit. But Wade doesn't falter. The only thing with Wade is he's trying to outdo himself fashion-wise every show, and I don't know how crazy. He didn't wear a shirt on the last show. He was showing the chest and all that. So I'm just hoping we don't get like completely naked Dwayne Wade in this next upcoming season.
Lefko, I think me and Mike talked about this last year where I feel like with you and Wade, I am getting a much more comfortable, entertaining Shaquille O'Neal than I am on the Thursday night pregame show with EJ, which is a great job out of you. If you guys are pulling that out of Shaq, he just seems more relaxed with you guys than he does with them.
I think he feels like the elder statesman. And so he feels a lot more sure in his takes. But the other thing is, Shaq is trying in his brain to go viral at every moment of the day. And if you can acknowledge that and not fight it, then you can actually get great moments. Otherwise, you're going to get Shaq kind of interrupting and being like, what can I do right now? And I, on the first show, it was right after the Super Bowl where Shakira looked in the camera and did the tongue thing. And in the commercial break, he goes, you should go viral. And I was like, what are you talking about? He goes, look in the camera and do the Shakira. And I was like, I cannot do that. Like, that's not in my, that's not what my role is here. He goes, okay. So then the next time he does it, in the commercial break, he shows me his phone and every social media account is sharing this video. And he goes, told you. He has viral brain that, like, if I could do a show with Shaq, it would just be an hour called Shaq Going Viral. And we would just try a different thing every day. That's what his brain does. And so I just, Dan Patrick told me this when I was getting ready for this, of you want to be John Stockton. Now, I'm a little bit more Stephon Marbury than John Stockton, and I'm trying to work that out. But you're just trying to figure out what everybody else wants, and then you give it to them. And so as long as I give Shaq his moment, we're great. Because I think on the other show, he, you know, it's Charles is the god.
Sure.
He's the greatest to ever do it. And so Shaq plays off him, where here I feel like he's the featured guy.
What have you had to do to pull back on your Marbury to be more Stockton?
I think studying Ernie. Like, I watch NBA on TNT Thursdays like it's an open book. I take notes because I see how much statistics and how much preparation he does. And I realize that the backbone of NBA on TNT, while there's all this fun happening, is that when it gets back to Ernie, he's going to let you know where we currently are. And I want to emulate that, and I want to do respect to that. And so because of that, it's not about me. I think the thing that I realized was no one's turning on NBA on TNT Tuesdays to watch Lefko. But if I can do this for a while.
That's an important thing. Like, that is an important thing for you to learn right there. That is an affliction so many people with television ego or television insecurity never learn. The fact that you've already learned that, you will elevate. Look, the star power around you, Lefko, if you simply make them their best selves, you will absolutely 100% have any job you want in this industry.
And I learned it very early on. I was a reporter in Nebraska, and my mom called me and said, I think you're better than Brian Williams. And I was like, this lady is crazy. And that's when I realized, like, the people around you that are like, man, you're killing it, they don't know what the hell they're watching. They just are happy to see you on TV. And so if you just go on there and go, I am a vessel for all these other people to be great, people will realize about me later on, and I don't need that right now. That's why I'm the anti-Stugatz.
Right.
So maybe I'm not great for the role right now, but that's why I can blend those two together and try to make it
happen.
But
it's so much more fun to be Marbury, though. It's so much more fun to be Stugatz. You don't have to swallow the ego. You could just undo your zipper and whip it out.
Yep, that's what I do.
Listen, I have thought about standing on the desk. I have thought about just dancing in the middle
and just
interrupting D. Wade and being like, what do you know? Like, I've thought all of these things.
Well, Brett, listen, if you're not ready to be Stugatz, perhaps I can bring Stugatz to you, the original.
Weren't you supposed to sit out this segment while we were interviewing your replacement?
But we're in my wheelhouse, okay? I pitched an idea to the genius that is Tim Kiley, okay? The executive.
Oh, he's the man.
Yeah, he is. He's been on Stupidity, by the way. You have not. You're more than welcome to come on anytime you want. So Kylie was on Stupidity. Now, I pitched this great idea to my friend, who's the vice president of Turner Sports, but also he runs the pregame show on Thursdays. I'm not certain if he's the executive producer of your pregame show.
He's like the brains behind NBA on TNT. That, like, any crazy moment was pretty much TK's idea.
Okay, so the idea was this little Felica, Chris Felica, the bear type setup on the Thursday pregame show,
where
I am off to the side, right? There's a gambling aspect to it. I am just reacting to what the gods are talking about.
You pitched him an idea that involves you being on that show.
Yes. No. But this is good because this is proof that you can do both. You can do this show. Lefko, if you do get this job, you can do both.
Okay.
And so what I pitched to him was, I am off to the side. You know, I am doing some gambling, commenting on what the guys are talking about, and just spewing hot takes, okay? Like a little Stugatz Island off to the side. Now, he's working on it. Dan and I are going to have to go on some podcast that he is not aware of until right now, and we're going to pitch the idea with Charles and Ernie. But if Thursday nights does it, if they don't want it, Lefko, I am offering my services to you on Tuesday nights, just so you know.
What is that?
It's a pitch.
No, what? Leave the room like you were supposed to so that I can just talk to the guy who's replacing you for just get out
whoa!
Of here.
Whoa!
Your amount of self-interest
can
is
can I ask Stugatz a question?
It was
can
for
I
the show.
One, one last question before Stugatz gets out of here so that I can interview his replacement, please.
Okay, good.
Stugatz, what if and when I get this role, what do I need to know about Dan to get the most out of Dan in the Stugatz chair?
Very small windows, okay? You have to work in the tiniest windows that you have ever worked in your entire life. So I wouldn't think Marbury. I wouldn't think whoever you transformed. I would think Eric Snow, okay? That's what I'd be thinking about. Okay?
I squeezed Eric Snow's chest.
I was
14 years old. Before a playoff game in the Sixers, he was signing autographs, and I was an idiot kid, and I reached over, and I grabbed it, and he stopped signing autographs, and he said, "Who squeezed me?" And he walked off the court, but the Sixers won.
You squeezed his nipple. You squeezed his nipple is what you did.
They got to the finals with that guy.
I did. And that was my first time where I went, I could be the next Stugatz.
I love Stugatz, but in Adam's pitch here, I think Adam could get us Patrick Mahomes because he seems to send him trading cards and they seem to be friendly. So I feel like guest-wise, Lefko has the leg up on who you get.
Wait a minute. Why are you friends with Kelsey and Mahomes? How are you friends with these people?
Mahomes sent me these glasses.
Man. It's his job.
These are the new Mahomes line that has his statistics on the side.
Wait a minute.
Wow.
I think part of my connection with Mahomes is back when me and Sims were doing the draft, Sims was like, Mahomes is the next Brett Favre. And so in my Stugatz brain, I was like, we're running with this. And we were like talking about Mahomes all the time. Well, you know, video gets to the agents and all that stuff, and he didn't play for the first year. We saw him at the Super Bowl, and nobody was trying to interview him. And so we just hung out with him for a while, and we just kind of made a connection. Also, I think people just kind of like me, which is why I'm a little anti-Stugatz. Also, even though he's a Jets fan, I can also get a Sam Darnold. So, you know.
Okay.
Who wants him?
He's coming with guests. Like he's showing
do it right
his,
now.
He's showing off
his
resume.
In. You're in.
You want to get
Mahomes right now.
Go ahead and text.
Get him right now.
Let's see if you text a couple of people. We're going to talk to you for about 20 more minutes. Let's see who Lefko could get in the Zoom. Are those Bret Hart glasses? Where
no,
are those?
Those are the Mahomes line, man. With the
these
stats.
Are the Mahomes Oakleys.
Yeah. Lefko was the MVP, the unsung hero of the Katie Nolan pandemic Zoom thing that went viral, speaking of going viral. And I brought in Lefko because I knew he had instant access to these uber famous people. Next thing you know, D Wade's in the Zoom, then Travis Kelce pops in. Lefko, best friends with all
well,
of them.
Shouldn't Lefko hold on a second? Lefko, if this
because I don't report news, I don't want to be Schefter, I do not want to be any of these people. I watch these HBO Real Sports where they're like, oh, I'm on my phone all the time, but I make it work, and I'm like, that sounds like the worst existence ever. How about I just hang out with these guys and drink beers and then never tell the secrets that they tell me? That actually, like, I would rather be Ahmad Rashad than Adam Schefter any day of the week.
Okay. Good point, well, let's do this, Adam, if we can. And this is putting you on the spot because I would like in the next 20 minutes for someone to appear in this Zoom with you we're interviewing you about other things. So now, not only do you have to send out a Zoom link, but we'll see how, because Stugatz does a little part of interviewing for this job is that Stugatz, a lot of people don't know this, Stugatz is doing some producing. He's sort of a I don't know, what is the name of the pole where a volleyball spins around the pole? A tetherball? Is it called
tetherball? Tetherball, yes.
Like he's sort of tethering everything here and producing the show while we're talking. Yes, Billy?
Well, no pressure, Lefko, but Stugatz's latest get was Aaron Rodgers. So,
yeah.
I mean,
That's pretty good.
You got Aaron Rodgers?
I did.
He got him last week,
Don't bring that weak
shit. What bribe? What bribe did you do?
There was no bribe, just Aaron Rodgers.
You had pictures of him?
No.
Extortion?
Nope.
Nothing. What does Wade?
I'd use him if I had him, but I didn't have to.
I want to talk some football with you here because you're very good on the subject of football while you're doing this. But one last question about the show that you do, and you guys need to check out the Lefko podcast wherever it is that you get your podcasts, and you need to watch the NBA on TNT on Tuesdays because they are a very worthy, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, but applicant for heir to that throne, the greatest show in the history of sports television.
It's a great, fun, younger alternative to what they do on Thursdays.
Learned all the things from that show and all the things that they've learned in this business, what can Wade do better? And I say this, I don't want it to get back to him as any sort of criticism or insult. What would he acknowledge is something that he could probably get better at that we're going to see him grow?
I think it just comes with time, because I think what you realize is there's doing television and then there's happening to be on television. And I think doing television is when you go, here is the A block, here is the B block, we're going to go to Candace, then we're going to go to Wade, and you wait for your turn. And I think the reason that the NBA on TNT is great is Charles doesn't care. He's just going to talk when he has an opinion. And I think that's the next stage for all of us, is getting to the point where, like, if you guys could see us backstage when we're just hanging out watching the games and the way we're reacting.
There needs to be less. There almost needs to be less prep. Like, television gets in the way of authenticity. It's
100%.
It's all the time, though. It's one of the reasons, Lefko, all the people who gravitate toward our things at ESPN, because it's not like we were actively seeking them out. They're like, what's this thing where I don't have to stand on a marker and go to a production meeting? Like, how can I just go someplace and be my authentic self and have everyone see it?
But, Dan, I think they encourage those guys there. I think Lefko's got the same encouragement.
Why are you still here?
Well, because Ernie told me this on my podcast, okay, that Kylie just said, hey, throw out the notes, do not look at the prompter, and let the people around you be great, let them respond to you, and you just tie it all together.
That's what Kylie said to me too. And I think it's look, I was traditional TV for 5-6 years. I went through the traditional path. I was in Nebraska, then I was in Kentucky, and then I went viral with some YouTube stuff where I was like the first one to drop references in a newscast, and I dropped like 40 rap references and 40 wrestling references, because I just went, I'm regurgitating my Twitter feed for people over the age of 60. Like, this is a waste of my time. And so you reach a point where you go, how do I create moments? And that's the evolution, I think. Is I feel bad for the ESPN halftime show for NBA because I know Jalen Rose has great things
to
say.
There's no time.
Yeah, they have like 15 seconds. And so for me, it's like, if they could really show who they were and really have fun, that would be the evolution of it. But I was watching halftime of the ESPN NFL game, and they spent 70% of the halftime talking about a college football championship. And I was like, why are they even there? And I'm so glad that you said Tim Kiley's name, because he texted me after the first show and was just like, I need you to know that whether or not you had the timing right or whatever, none of that matters. All that matters is that you had a connection with them on stage. And that's what really matters. And so I took a lot from you guys. Dan, your ability, when someone's, one thing that I've stolen from Dan Le Batard is when he is interviewing somebody and there is this weird moment, Dan goes, what was that? Tell me what that was. And I think it's awesome, because it's people's brains going, they were going to say something and then they're retracting it. And you're a very engaged listener. And so I've definitely tried to steal that from you. But the other thing that you guys do so well is when a moment happens, you will throw out the rundown for the moment. And I think a lot of people are too obsessed with executing A to Z instead of getting to C and going, C is the show. Make that the show.
Adam, it's the reason I don't like television. I've never liked television. Yeah, it's too confining. It is so hard. I am guessing that your podcast, no matter how much fun you're having with Dwayne Wade and everyone else, I'm guessing it's more fun to have the space to roam in your podcast.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so I presented an Emmy with Ernie when I first got to Turner. And so I got to spend the whole day with him. And beyond the fact that he's like a saint of a human, and like he'll be the guy that like a janitor is wheeling a trash can, and he'll be like, I'll get that for you. And you're like, okay, Ernie. Like, that's who he is. But I asked him about these production meetings, and he was like, yeah, Charles never sits in. And that's when I went to Sims and was like, you're never going to know about the rundown anymore. Like, you're not going to know. We're going to take you on a journey and we're going to see what happens. And I think you have to have that producer brain, though, too, where you need to know where you're going. And it's not just, I'm a reader of things on a prompter. I'm very sensitive of being called talent, because I think it's kind of a backhanded insult more than anything.
Can you tell us what happened to Russell Wilson? what happened to the Seattle Seahawks?
I was going to text Mina Kimes that exact question yesterday, and I was afraid that I was going to send her into an emotional state. Like, I didn't want her to, like, rage on me. I texted this to Warren Sharp, my buddy, and he's like, honestly, I don't know. It's as if Brian Schottenheimer planned for the first 5 weeks of the year and then was like, whoop, figured it out, and then never adjusted the rest of the year. But I agree. It's as if the offensive scheme didn't make sense, but at the same time, he looks completely not confident anymore. It all evaporated these last few weeks of the year. Also, I think it's compounded by the Rams have owned the Seahawks and Russell Wilson for the last 4 or 5 years. I think that they're something like 80 to 85% in terms of wins. They sacked him 11 times in the two games before yesterday. The best thing that happened to Aaron Rodgers was that he got hurt for a year and they fired everybody. The worst part with Russell Wilson is even when they had a down year, they kept everybody and said, we're going to change some things. And I think that Russell has been carrying people for far too long. And I don't think it's Pete Carroll, but that's up for debate. But they need to get in a younger offensive mind because Brian Schottenheimer has never been the guy. Stu Gatz even knows about that.
Yes or no, Aaron Donald is the best defensive player ever?
No.
LT.
LT and Reggie White were the first two names that came to my mind. I think Aaron Donald can keep going. Remember, we said the same thing about J.J. Watt 5 years ago, where J.J. Watt was up for MVP and had like 20 sacks.
Yeah, but Donald's the only one doing it from the middle. Like all the guys you mentioned, none of them are doing it through double teams up the middle.
Yeah, J.J. was a little bit, but Aaron Donald, I think if he, it's all about length of time and all that, but I would put LT, I'm going to agree with Stu Gatz. Yeah. Just because I was reading Bill Walsh's book, and it's like when you realize that the Bill Walsh offense was built because of LT and all the rule changes, it's just another level of human out there. I'm working. So Kelsey would not be good enough because you got Rodgers?
No, Kelsey would be good enough.
Yeah, he's
Kelsey,
not as good as Kelsey, Rodgers. But
it's a start. It's a start. Yeah,
we'll take Kelsey. If Kelsey wants to call in, we'll take Kelsey. That'd be – and look, Billy, of course, Billy – have you gotten such good guests lately that you have to make the standard Aaron Rodgers?
I'm doing this for you, Danny. You want to settle for Travis Kelce? Okay, we can do that.
Travis Kelce's a good guest.
Mahomes in play here.
I mean, Kelsey's probably the MVP. He could be the MVP of the NFL this year, right?
I mean, Kelsey, doesn't he lead the league in receiving?
Does Dwayne Wade like you or I be getting
him? Yeah, no, I think we're good with Dwayne Wade, aren't we? I think we are.
I have no idea.
And ran him out of town.
So you're going to get Wade and Kelsey. That equals an Aaron Rodgers, perhaps.
Am I allowed to tell Dwayne Wade I was on the show, or is that going to fracture my relationship?
No, do this. Lefko, say I'm on with Dan Le Batard right now. Are you cool with that show, or are you not cool with that show? You can ask him, because I think we're good. There was some stuff at the end. I would actually like to have this conversation with Dwayne Wade. I don't know whether he wants to have it on the air or not, but I've reached out to him a few times and heard back from him in a way. I mean, he's warm and he's a good person, but he doesn't like how it ended the first time in Miami, and some of that, I think, gets put on me because of my relationship with Pat Riley.
I am told here by Roy in the chat that Wade sent a very nice tweet out on our departure away from ESPN about the show. So perhaps
not highly questionable, but it's the same.
Okay. I thought it was about me.
I think he, like, look, the way it ended with Pat Riley, I know wasn't great. And I know he didn't like it. But Wade, as you've mentioned, is very introspective, and I feel like he's had time to think about it. And I think he realizes that business is business, and I think he's cool now with Pat.
I think we're cool now too, but I haven't tweeting back and forth with him.
I think Adam just let us know. We'll find out if we're cool or not.
Okay, we'll find out. We'll all find
out
together.
Where'd you leave it with Kelsey, by the way?
I mean, you got the Zoom link, right? You're good.
He's got the Browns coming up.
No, I know what he has coming up, but I feel like I'm going to end up booking him for you. If you want to tell him, okay. If you want to tell him, I am very friendly with Andrew, his personal trainer down here at South Florida.
What are you doing? Just get out of the segment.
It will land the plane, Dan.
Stugatz, just get out of the segment.
It will land the plane.
I would like for you to land in a plane outside of this studio as I interview your replacements.
Just trying to help get Kelsey. I'm trying to help my replacement replace me.
I think Sims would be a good Stugatz. Now that I think about it.
Yeah. Sims went ghost on me.
Why are you still here? Will you please leave? Please leave. I wasn't joking. Just please leave for a few minutes so that I could talk to Adam Lefko for a second.
Someone famous
just
might show
up. Yeah, but just get out of here. You could come back when someone famous shows up. Please close the door behind you and let me talk to him.
All right.
Thank you.
Ooh, I got a wild card I'm going to try here.
See, this is very exciting. No, football questions. Tom Brady. What are we to expect from Tom Brady the rest of the way? He just won a game, but he won a game he never had to play in New England. He's on the road. It's the first round. He doesn't get a bye. They beat a bad football team in Washington. Tom Brady, that team goes only as far as Tom Brady is excellent, correct?
Oh, 100%. I would also say compare the over 40-year-old quarterbacks from what we saw this weekend. Drew Brees, Big Ben, Phillip Rivers, Tom Brady. Other than the Tom Brady, George Blanda photo, which I would have sent to Cody as the funniest thing of the weekend, he doesn't even look like he's in the same age bracket as those guys. Also, the way that you beat the Buccaneers that we saw earlier this year was spread them out and throw. So Kansas City did it. Los Angeles Rams did it. They played the perfect team for Tampa Bay's defense to look somewhat okay with Heinicke and all that. Now they're taking on the Saints. I think that Tom Brady with this offense, if everybody is healthy, they were my dark horse. Maybe they make a run, but they got to pray that they don't have to go to Lambeau in 2 weeks. If somehow the Rams and that defense can upset Green Bay, I think Tampa Bay could be going to the Super Bowl. I really do. But they did beat the Packers big time earlier this year. It kind of felt fluky. Aaron Rodgers, it was like the weirdest game of the season for him. But I do find it very odd that Belichick is out. Donald Trump apparently is offering him like some presidential medal right now. And if he accepts it, like the world is going to turn on him. And at the same time, Tom Brady is doing what he always does. I have always been a Belichick over Brady guy. But right now the tide seems to be turning because we talked about this was the legacy year. If Brady makes a run without Belichick, does it change the way that you've looked at the last 20 years of that Patriots regime at all? I mean, does coaching matter as much? We just saw the Browns beat the Steelers with Kevin Stefanski in a basement. I thought NFL was the league where coaching was supposed to be the most important thing of all time.
I've had Tom Brady on my podcast. Have you?
Get out of here, please.
I did.
You did the big slamming door and you came back for that.
He did.
There he is again.
Yeah, I did. I had Tom Brady and Peyton.
Lefko would be so much better than Stugatz.
You had them together. I'll let Stugatz know.
Yeah. Go ahead and tell Stugatz that. He thought he was coming in here. He had the winning hand.
Stugatz,
he slammed the door again.
He had Brady and Manning together.
Yeah, Brady and Manning together. We got to get Lefko to replace Stugatz. Lefko, Aaron Rodgers, what do you make of Aaron Rodgers and the season that he's had?
When they drafted Jordan Love, this is what we all hoped for, that there was going to be so much anger and so much vitriol and so much of the intelligence that we see from Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is like a laser beam of focus. And to have turned that perceived slight into another 13-3 season, getting the only bye in the first round of the playoffs for the NFC, and to have a quarterback connection with Davante Adams that I believe is number one in the NFL, this is what I've always been wondering. I messed up, and I wrote off Aaron Rodgers. I did not have the Green Bay Packers making the playoffs this year. I'm happy to admit my faults. But I know that, Dan, I feel like you're as fascinated. I got somebody. Okay, I need the Zoom link. Can I have the Zoom link?
Uh-oh, he's ensnared someone. Stugatz,
but we're not going after
you. Want me to text it?
Is it Mahomes? Because I'm right here.
I just told you it's not sports. We're going to go out. We're going to go a little bit different.
All right, that's fine. So continue your
point,
though.
I'll wait on the link here from Mike. Are you texting it to me?
Yeah, I'm going to text it to you.
What size fish are we talking here, Adam?
I don't know if you're going to like him. We're going to find out. Oh, he's got meetings. Hold on. We're going to see if this works. Okay, we can do this.
This is a very, very exciting
okay,
time.
But Dan, I know that you're equally as fascinated with Aaron Rodgers' brain as I am. And I had always wondered, I don't know how long he wants to play because I feel like, but I also don't know what he's going to do after he gets done playing in the NFL. Like, where do you think Aaron Rodgers goes when he's done?
It's an excellent question because I've met a number of people that I thought were uniquely qualified to put down the athlete's identity, the gladiator identity, whether it's Robert Smith or John Amici or Shane Battier. And every last one of them says when they leave the arena, they think they're equipped for it because they're worldly, they're different. And then they look around and they're like, whoa, there is nothing in real life that replaces what Sundays feel like. There is nothing in real life that replaces what that locker room feels like. Nothing. And so I don't know what he could possibly do that would give him the same kind of juice that that Sundays do.
Your conversation with John Amici, by the way, was phenomenal. And I watched him talking about privilege. I watched that clip like three times. But I interviewed Antoine Bethea last week because he just retired. And so he's got the link. So, okay. And he just retired. And he was like, the biggest issue for me, I'd like to introduce you guys to my good buddy, old pal, Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary V here with the Levitard Show. Gary, I just want you to say, screw Stugatz. That's the main reason you're here.
Careful, Gary.
Screw Stugatz, as simple as that.
No, you're here for more than that. I love you.
Can I talk about my feelings when I see that the four AFC quarterbacks that are left were passed by my New York Jets in back-to-back drafts when we needed quarterbacks, and the sheer anger and 0.0 happiness I have for Browns or Bills fans, like 0.0, actually negative happiness for Cleveland and Buffalo, disdain, could care less about 25 years this and 1994 that, like am angry and wish that both teams lose desperately this week.
I love Lefko. What I love here is that in the interview to replace Stugatz, you have now found the person to replace me so that they can finally do the Jets show. So that they can counter program against Mike Greenberg, Bart Scott, and Keyshawn Johnson, so they can counter program with Jets coverage.
And by the way, I'll take this advantage. Congratulations on an incredible, incredible execution. You know, unfortunately, I work 24/7, so I haven't been able to consume as much as if I was 20 years younger. But it's been really fun to watch from day one since I pay attention to all this stuff. And congratulations.
I mean, I love it. Thank you. Who is this guy?
You guys should be talking Jets right now. I don't know how you're back in the room again.
What I was going to tell Gary was, Gary, you know how this works as a Jet fan. Had we drafted those quarterbacks, they'd be out of the NFL right now. Okay, and if those other teams drafted Darnold be in a divisional playoff game right now. So that's how it works.
Here's what is not talked about anywhere close to enough. Mike Maccagnan is the worst football GM. He makes Idzik look like Wolf. Like, to me, listen, Josh McCown may be my favorite human on earth. However, when he's your quarterback coming into the season and you're the Jets and it is a quarterback league and Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes are on the board and you decide to not only take a safety, but then this is the best part. You then take a safety in the second round. And by the way, Marcus May is my favorite New York Jet. However, in an offensive NFL where you don't have a quarterback, they decided to go safety, safety. And listen, I love Jamal as a dude. Sitting courtside at Knick games with him was some of the most fun. I love the human. I tried his entire Jets career to convince him to convert to linebacker. I have been proven to be uncomfortably historically correct.
I mean, listen, this is your big get. I mean, listen, I grew up
with a million. I have never heard Gary hit these pitches before.
But every guy I grew up with is Gary. I mean, I could have gotten any Gary.
Lefko, look, listen, Lefko, you were nailing the interview, okay? But bringing in at the end a Gary, the Jets fan, you have soiled yourself at the end of the interview. You've blown it. We're going to have to take on other auditions, other nominations. Gary, Lefko, thank you. It was good talking to you.
Thank you, Gary.
Take care, Gary. Gary, listen, don't be a failure. You're a smart, successful guy. Just never heard of you. I mean,
thank you, Lefko. We will talk to you. Good talking to you.
Just dismissed the CEO of Resi.
It's unbelievable.
Lefko. Thank you, guys. I love you a lot. Congratulations on everything. Keep kicking ass. You already have the universe, man. I'm excited to keep going. And I hope to hear from you soon. This was a very nice interview experience.
Well, congratulations on everything. We haven't done anything. I mean, we're not working for anyone. We got fired.
All we're doing is interviewing a Jets fan named Gary. That you promised us Kelsey and Mahomes, and you got Thank you for being on with us, Lefko. Figure out if we're good with Wade or not and bring him on tomorrow or something.
You got it.
Talk to Kylie for me.
See you, Gary.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.